Our first scripture this morning comes from the book of Romans. If you'd like to follow along in your pew Bibles, it's on page 147 of the New Testament. These are the words of Paul to the church in Rome. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies, also through his Spirit that dwells in you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
The second reading comes from the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. What I anticipate will be a familiar story to you. I asked this morning, I went into the Sunday school room, all of them actually, and I told them, today, Jesus will raise a dead guy. And I questioned if they knew who the dead guy was, and they didn't. I said, well, think about this. Who's the dead guy's sisters? They didn't know that either. So listen up. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha. Martha was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But when Jesus heard it, he said, this illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after he said to the disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again? Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we might die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Mary and Martha to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." But Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench, because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Before we started reading scripture, Ken Burvey joked with me. He said, "How come you always get the long scripture passages to read?" Well, once again this week, as I promised last, we have that long and multi-layered gospel passage with an awful lot to ponder. And frankly, that truly is my wish for you, that you would take some time to think about this story, to consider its place in the entire ministry of Jesus Christ, and to pray about how it would speak to your life in the 21st century as well. But this morning, I want us together to think about the unwritten story of Lazarus. What is it that Scripture leaves out of this passage? I believe that the story that is not on the page, but rather only in our thoughts and our imaginations, may be an equally worthwhile story to consider. This gospel writer tells us what happens to Jesus and his disciples. The story describes what Mary and Martha did and said to Jesus. It even describes what several Jews who came from Jerusalem to be with the sisters are doing. But it completely leaves out what's going on with Lazarus. We can only imagine and guess what Lazarus must have gone through. So I want you to think about Lazarus. Try to put yourself in his place as a fellow human being. We understand that he was sick, but what did he go through as his condition worsened and he lay there dying? What was that like for him? How did it feel to die, to let his life slip away from his mortal body? What did he experience in that going on to the other side? Did Lazarus welcome death? Was it an end of pain and agony and hopelessness? Did Lazarus die gracefully? Or did he fight it until the final breath left his lungs and his heart stopped beating? And once his body had been laid inside the cave and the stone had been pushed into place at the cave's entrance, what was Lazarus experiencing then? Was it silence and peace? Was it a profound experience of sleep and tranquility? Or was it simply nothingness? When Jesus brought him back to life, when his body was resuscitated, his heart started beating once again, pushing blood through his arteries and his veins, and his lungs filled with air, what was Lazarus thinking then? When he heard Jesus call out his name, do you think Lazarus wanted to be brought back to life? Or do you think he would just as soon have wanted to stay in the peaceful and quiet embrace of death? He'd already died once, and now that he was alive, he realized that he would have to die again someday. Do you think Lazarus questioned Jesus' motives in bringing him back to life? Was Jesus truly responding to his love for Lazarus, to the cries of his two sisters, Mary and Martha? Or was Jesus simply performing this death-defying act as a way of impressing the Jewish crowds and getting more people to believe in Jesus? Was this a political ploy? How do you think that Lazarus understood this act? And then I want you to think about the work that Lazarus would have to do after the end of this story. Lazarus was probably a wreck. Physically, Lazarus would have to get back into shape. Can you imagine what it would be like to be dead for 4 days, what that would do to your body? Emotionally, Lazarus would have to reconnect with all of those loved ones who had already said goodbye. Mary and Martha had already started to mourn and to begin to come to peace with life without their brother Lazarus. He would have to mend so many relationships in the wake of his own death. And spiritually, Lazarus probably had a totally new understanding of faith in God, and he likely had a brand new relationship with Jesus Christ. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine what it would be like to literally start over? Throughout my long pondering of this passage, I would always come back to what Jesus said in verse 25 and 26. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. God can bring you new life right here and right now. God can bring your spirit back from the dead just as surely as Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. Jesus loved Lazarus dearly. And Jesus loves you dearly in the very same way. And so, in this long and potentially lonely walk through these 40 days of Lent, where do you find yourself? How is it with your spirit? How is it with your soul? How is your relationship with your God? Are you in need of spiritual resuscitation? Do you need Jesus to call out your name and bring you back from the darkness of your cave? Have you taken the time to look deep within you, to consider your mortality, your place in life, the meaning and value of your life on this earth? Where do you find yourself on this wilderness journey through Lent? And after having thought about all that, how do we know that God is yet capable of bringing back life and of reviving dead spirits? As Christian people, we can see the proof all around us. We witness the rising of the sun every morning. We can look out our windows and see the buds on the trees and the bushes that are swelling as the weeks of winter move relentlessly toward springtime. We have the knowledge that the bulbs in the ground will once again give way to green shoots and then to gorgeous flowers as time moves on. We saw green shoots yesterday. We can feel the love in our hearts from those who are special to us. Yes, we know that God is fully capable of bringing back life and of reviving dead spirits. I reflect on the line from Romans. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. God can bring our spirits back from the dead just as surely as Jesus brought Lazarus back from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Dear Lord, help us to believe that in our hearts and to live it out in our daily lives. Amen.